Welcome on board to State Senator John Gordner, State Senator in the 27th District, Berwick resident and former State House member, and now the Majority Whip in Harrisburg. Thank you so much for checking in, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, sir.
I really do appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Let's talk about what is the biggest issue that's being talked about in Harrisburg right now. I would think things related to the budget or the gun law or abortion would be sort on the front burner. You're running short on time. So give us a sort of a state of Harrisburg overview, please.
But June always tends to be the biggest activity month of the whole year. We go in session the first week of June, and then we're in session every week. Sometimes we're in the entire week. But obviously the first focus is the budget, and a lot of activity going on in regard to that with the Senate, the House, and the governor's office. But then you've got all these other issues out there that are being discussed, certainly in regard to the shooting, in regard to women in sports, abortion issues, other issues. So bridge tolling, there was just a rally against bridge tolling yesterday. So it is a very busy, interesting month.
Well, let's start out with the abortion topic then. Are you in favor of the legislation that's pending? Explain what this law would do.
Well, there's a constitutional amendment that is pending that is being offered by Senator Judy Ward. And basically, it would be, again, a constitutional amendment, so it would have to go before the voters. It would have to be approved this session and next session. So it's nothing that is going to be going before the voter anytime prior to next year if it's passed in two consecutive sessions. But it basically just says, it's interesting, it says that there is nothing in our state constitution that ensures the right to a paid abortion. And, you know, it was actually introduced prior to the, you know, the news slipping in regard to the U.S. Supreme Court, but certainly that court case or the case was pending, so knew that it may end up coming to the states. And basically, the idea is that a state court in Pennsylvania should not make any final decision. It should be done through the legislative process with the General Assembly and the governor deciding what opportunities there are for abortions in Pennsylvania, and also saying that there is no constitutional right to a taxpayer-funded abortion in Pennsylvania.
And what's your view on this legislation?
Yeah, I'm a co-sponsor of it, so I am supportive of it. With constitutional amendments, they go before the voters, and the voters decide. So I certainly am supportive of letting the voters of Pennsylvania decide whether to put that in the Constitution and say that our Constitution does not say that there is any right to an abortion in Pennsylvania, and that there's no constitutional right, and that there is no constitutional right to a taxpayer-funded abortion.
John, has the Republican Party done any polling on this issue to determine what the temperature of the public might be?
There was actually some polling done in regard to this specific amendment and the wording of it. And the wording that ended up in this amendment was one that the majority of those that polled, not a large majority, but a slight majority, polled, said that they would support it in the way that this was drafted, and that's why this is how it's being offered. There's nothing that says that this wouldn't take away anything that currently exists in statute in regard to our current abortion laws. So, I mean, we currently have something that goes back to Governor Casey, a Democrat, you know, that says that you can not get an abortion beyond, I forget, 20 weeks or 22 weeks or whatever, and there are other different provisions. So it wouldn't change anything in statute. It just wouldn't be able to have a state court say that there is something in our Constitution that guarantees an abortion at any time.
Well, with all the talk about the pending Supreme Court decision, do you think it's wise to adopt any legislation or consider any legislation now until you see where the Supreme Court's coming down?
I think the nature of what this constitutional amendment does, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't change any existing statutory law. So the law that was put in place, again, back with Governor Casey, would not change. So whether the Supreme Court takes action or not, it's still important.
Gun laws pending in Harrisburg, changes in gun laws. What are we seeing to either protect or prohibit more guns or mental health laws or related topics in Harrisburg?
Well, this is the challenge, and I know it's at the federal level. It's the same at the state level, as Democrats have a certain focus and Republicans often have a different focus. So you do try to hopefully put people in a room, as I think they're trying to do with the U.S. Senate. I think there's a group of eight bipartisan senators that are working on something. But, you know, in the past, it was the, frankly, the Pennsylvania Senate Republicans that pushed the school safety legislation. Despite Governor Wolf cutting grants out of proposed budgets, we put over $100 million into grants to school districts to put safety measures in place. The Safe to Say Something legislation, which was prime sponsored by Pat Brown, Senate Republican, has been incredibly successful. That went into place in 2019. There have been tens of thousands of anonymous tips that have been made by teachers or mostly school students. The idea behind that Safe to Say Something is that if there's a student that is being bullied, if there's a student that hears something about someone maybe doing something violent, if there's a student that hears something about maybe someone saying that they may commit suicide, there's an anonymous tip line, there's a crisis center that you can contact. And again, there's been tens of thousands of those anonymous contacts and tips since that went into place in 2019. So those are the sort of things that we've been proactive on. But yeah, the Senate Democrats have announced six different gun control laws that they want us to pass immediately. And it's just frustrating for a number of us when you've got the Philadelphia District Attorney who will not enforce gun laws that are already on the books. Someone who pushes cash bail on those folks that commit crimes with a gun, and then was overwhelmingly reelected in the city of Philadelphia when he was up for reelection. So it's just frustrating that they want more gun laws, and yet the Democratic DA in the largest city in the Commonwealth isn't enforcing the laws on the books, doesn't believe that folks charged with the gun crimes should be prosecuted for them or put in jail.
What's the connection between the Philadelphia DA and the Senate Democrats?
Because they, we've tried to do some things to force. I mean, the Philadelphia has seen the largest amount of gun crimes in the last two or three years than they've had in decades. We're now rivaling Chicago in regard to the amount of different gun offenses and stuff there. But you have a district attorney there that they just had a shooting in Broad Street just over the weekend, I believe. They've got a district attorney there that will not enforce the gun laws when criminals are charged by police. He is letting folks out on cash bail rather than detaining them or putting them behind bars so that they don't do something else. And so we're just saying you want more gun laws, and yet you've got the DA in the largest city in Philadelphia, in the Commonwealth, that's not enforcing the gun laws that are already in the book.
How does that resonate with the Democrats?
They ignore it.
They don't like it. Well, I mean, but at the same token, what do you say to your constituents where you have parents worried about sending their kids to school and kids going to school who are worried, but we have our good state senator who's in the majority says, well, we're not going to advance this because the Senate Democrats are dragging their feet and they're not helping to crack down on crime in Philadelphia. You know, how does this sort of sub-argument help make us safer?
Sure. Well, two comments. First of all, I mean, if you saw the results of the recall election in San Francisco on Tuesday, you saw that maybe there's actual movement there where San Francisco, one of the most liberal cities in the entire country, decided to recall their district attorney for the same exact reason. So that was sort of earth-shattering to some degree, and we'll see what happens in Los Angeles coming up. But look, and I know I think last week you had one of the local moms on that, you know, talked about some sensible things that we could do and mentioned that in regard to domestic violence situations, that we actually got all the sides together, wasn't that long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, reached a compromise and were able to pass some significant legislation dealing with domestic violence. So, you know, it's not harmful to get some folks that are, you know, rational and able to maybe try to find compromise, and I certainly support that. You know, just need to put the rhetoric away and the press releases away and the rallies away and get in a closed room and see if there is room for compromise, and I'm certainly supportive of at least looking into that.
Well, Senator, you've been at the forefront of transportation issues in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and largely through your efforts, Governor Corbett's transportation bill got passed, which funded the Susquehanna Valley Thruway Project. But now that project has escalated to $900 million in cost, and PennDOT is talking about tolling bridges and parts of Pennsylvania to try and have money available for their rehabilitation or rebuilding when it's necessary. We also have the state police still taking money out of PennDOT, and we have the Turnpike Commission pumping money into PennDOT. Is there a long-range solution? Is there any desire to develop a long-range solution to PennDOT funding in the House or the Senate?
Sure. A couple of thoughts in regard to that. Obviously, in regard to the, maybe not obviously, but in regard to the bridge tolling scheme that the governor came up with, he came up with that prior to Congress passing their Infrastructure Investment Act, frankly, an act that I wholeheartedly supported. So Pennsylvania is getting several billion dollars that we didn't expect to get in regard to highway improvements. And we're getting several billion dollars that we weren't expecting to get in regard to bridge improvements. So just with those monies coming in the next 5 years on an annual basis, the need to toll, frankly, doesn't exist anymore. Secondly, when we passed the Corbett Act, it stopped, as of this year, the Turnpike Commission from having to put any more money into PennDOT. That is good for the Turnpike Commission. The Turnpike Commission has seen 10% increases every year since that FUMO-inspired Act 44 disaster happened under Governor Rendell. So that's good news that the Turnpike Commission no longer has to keep on putting in that $400 million into PennDOT, but that's $400 million less that PennDOT we'll be getting from the Turnpike Commission. Going back to the budget, Senator Jay Corman, a number of years ago, when we were getting close to $800 million that we were putting or taking from the highway fund and giving to state police, we enacted legislation that said that beginning that year, I think it was 4 years or so ago, every year after, we would reduce the amount of money being taken from the highway fund and paying the state police by $25 million. I expect in this year's budget, till we got to $500 million, I expect in this year's budget we're going to accelerate that and take it to the $500 million. That is what is really fiscally responsible in regard to what should be taken out. So that's another $200 million, I believe, that will be staying in the highway fund that was going to pay for state police, and we're going to be able to do that because of the excess funds that we have to put this year's budget together.
Well, as you know, PennDOT has asked a number of people to write letters to Secretary Buttigieg to try and get some additional funding, some of this infrastructure money for the Susquehanna Valley Thruway Project. Even though it is fully funded, it would give PennDOT more money to spend on other projects. Any word on how that might be going?
I was one of those that also did a letter to the Transportation Secretary. I fully support it. Yeah, there's competitive monies that are part of this infrastructure bill, and to the extent that Pennsylvania could qualify for some of those competitive monies, I fully support it. And it would, again, free up money for other projects.
the broadband issue, can we alter Pennsylvania law now, repeal or amend so that some of this federal dollars can help establish these broadband networks outside of the major communication networks?
First of all, we did, and here's an example of the governor, the House, the Senate, Democrats, Republicans working together. It was over a year or so ago, we set up a statewide broadband authority. I think it passed unanimously in the House and the Senate. There's Democrats, Republicans, House members, senators, and governor has nominees on it as well. They've met several times. Our person on the board is Kristen Phillips Hill, who is chair of our Communications and Technology Committee. So we've got a statewide authority set up, and we will be getting a minimum of $100 million from the federal government, but it's anticipated we could get $400 to $500 million. But I think maybe the issue you're referencing is this archaic provision in the law that sort of defers to the existing telecommunication giants having the veto power as to whether someone like Drive or Cedacog does something, and that just has to go away because they've had plenty of time. So if any of the larger entities, the Comcasts or the Verizons or whoever, wanted to put broadband in rural Snyder County or northern Northumberland County or wherever, they've had ample time to do it. So we should allow the CDCOGs and the Drives to be able to provide that access.
Is there a repeal or an amendment now pending or will soon be pending to resolve this?
There is legislation that is being considered, yes.
Okay. Joe?
Where will that, what type of legislation would that be? Would it just repeal the law or would it do more to facilitate these private entities from building networks?
It is being discussed at this point, so I'm not sure that I'm going to be helpful more on the specifics. But we certainly, I'm all about competition. I think probably we can, all three of us agree that competition is a good thing in regard to this. And look, if entities haven't wanted to go to these rural areas, then we should allow folks that are interested to be able to put things in place.
Now, Joe's shaking his head. No, he does not like competition. So
I do like competition.
Okay, no, publicly, he likes competition.
Hates competition.
All right, there you go. Let's see, legalized pot. We talked about this, I guess, Senator Regan's bill back in January or February. Any progress on that?
It is not one of the top 10 or 20 issues that's being discussed in Harrisburg, and certainly nothing that's going to happen between now and when we break at the end of June.
Got to ask you a political question. Doug Mastriano, can he make it?
Sure. No one thought Donald Trump could be elected president back in 2016. There's certainly some folks on the Republican side that said Doug Mastriano just is he's a fringe candidate and can't get more than 17 or 18% of the vote in the Republican primary. And he trounced everyone. I mean, not only did he get more than 16 or 17% of the vote, he almost got the majority of the vote. I mean, what, 44, 45, 46%? I think he may have won just about every county in the state on the Republican side. It's going to be a red wave, I believe, in November. Just everybody sees everything going in the wrong direction. Can Doug be governor in November? Yes.
Are you supporting him? Am I going to be invited to the Mastriano Gordner rally in Bloomsburg one day?
Look, I'm supporting Doug. He serves in our caucus. He is decorated war veteran, very proud of that. He's not a black and white type of person. He is a black and white type of person. He's not a gray type of person. He's very strong in his beliefs, and he lets people know where he stands. As compared to his opponent, and I think the direction that his opponent will take our state, then I believe it's important to have a Republican governor with the House and Senate, and just change the direction of where things are going.
Anything you would like to add to our discussion? We did not ask you. Anything you want to elaborate on?
No, just mention that, again, lots of different aspects of this budget, but something that Representative Culver and I have really taken the lead on. She's the lead sponsor in the House. I'm the lead sponsor in the Senate. I think I mentioned it last time, is this bipartisan effort to do a Growing Greener 3, and it is another example of Democrats, Republicans, House and Senate members working together along with DC&R Secretary Cindy Dunn, who I think is an outstanding secretary for Governor Wolf. It's and I expect that when we're done with the budget, whenever it's done in June, we'll have a sizable amount of money that's going to be available for Growing Greener 3. That's going to be beneficial to our state parks and state forests. It's going to be beneficial to cleaning up the Chesapeake Bay and the Susquehanna River and water and sewer projects. And it's just a good example of, again, opportunities where we can work together. And it's going to be using the American Rescue Plan money that we have. And I think it'll be a great benefit all across the Commonwealth. I'm just proud for Representative Culver and I to be the two leads on the issue.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for the update on all these important issues, and we'll continue to monitor these. Check back in as needed to bring us up to date, if you so wish. Senator Gordner, thank you so much.
Take care, Senator.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Very much appreciated. State Senator John Gordner, of course, lives in Berwick, but is the State Senate Majority Whip and, of course, State Senator in the 27th District. Succeeded.
And one of the true heroes of the Susquehanna Valley Thruway Project.
All right. So a real advocate for transportation and opposed to the tolling opportunity that the governor would like to do.